Hello, welcome to Carey Baptist Church here in Moulton. Jodie and Stuart here. This week, because it's the first week of the month, it's a communion service. So if you'd like to participate in that part of our worship, press pause and get yourself some bread and wine or liquid equivalent, and you're welcome to join us. Let's commence in prayer. Let us pray. Loving God, as we gather in our homes, we pause to remind ourselves that we don't do this alone, that we are here to worship you and to encounter you. So we pray that we would meet with you as we worship together online. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture reading is from John chapter 10. Verses 1 to 19. John chapter 10, verses 1 to 19. The Good Shepherd and His Sheep. Very truly I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Jesus used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Therefore, Jesus said again, "Very truly, I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters in through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then when the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it, the man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me. Just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this sheep pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd. The reason my Father loves me is that I lay down my life, only to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have authority to lay it down and authority to take it up again. This command I received from my Father." The Jews who heard these words were again divided. Let us pray. Lord, as we start a new series this week, we pray that you would lead us by your Spirit, that we would discern your voice, the voice of the Good Shepherd in our daily lives, and as we reflect upon Scripture. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This week we're starting a new series called Hearing God's Word, and it's based on the book How to Hear God, A Simple Guide for Normal People by Pete Gregg, who is one of the co-founders of the 24/7 prayer movement and the author of the prayer course. So I'll be drawing a lot from his ideas, and I make no pleas for originality in that sense. The book is based on the Emmaus Road story. The story is a masterclass for anyone seeking to learn to hear God's voice. And it models so many ways in which God speaks to us. And they, that's the disciples and us, who too consistently and reassuringly get it wrong. Our first session is on hearing God's word or voice in Jesus. And we start with Jesus, the Word becoming flesh. John says in his prologue in the Gospel of John, John chapter 1, verse 14, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. Hearing God begins and ends with meeting Jesus. As C.S. Lewis says, it is Christ himself who is the true word of God. Jesus, if we're using a hearing metaphor, is what God sounds like. He's literally the living word of God. The Bible points us to Jesus, but it's Jesus we're seeking to listen to in and through the Bible. And the Bible, if it's read in the right spirit and with the guidance of good teachers, will bring us to him. Going back to the story of the road to Emmaus in Luke 24, verse 15, Jesus draws alongside or draws near to the people, to the disciples. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. So Jesus draws near to them and walks alongside them. And God in Jesus draws near to us and walks alongside us. Jesus comes to them in his very person, and his encounter with them is personal. How do we hear Jesus? Not many of us, perhaps not any of us, will hear an audible voice. But he does speak to us through the Bible, through other people, and through life itself and its circumstances. And if we're going to hear from Jesus, we need, first of all, to listen. The most important prayer of all in Judaism begins with this one word, hear, known as the Shema, literally meaning listen, or hear, or heed. In Deuteronomy 6, verses 4 and 5, it says, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. The most important commandment is to hear or listen to God. We need to slow down to listen to God because he is rarely in a hurry to speak. On the Emmaus Road, Jesus took his time with the disciples. He listened to them and taught them. And then he revealed himself to them. And in our lives, God can take a long time, even years, to teach us things. And we are often slow to learn. But God does not give up on us. In the spiritual life, God chooses to try our patience, first of all, by his slowness, wrote Frederick Faber almost 200 years ago. He was a well-known hymn writer and theologian. And he says, he is slow. We are swift and precipitate. It is because we are but for a time, and he has been for eternity. Thus grace, for the most part, acts slowly. He works little by little. God isn't in a hurry, but seems to reveal himself to those who are hungry for him. And to have a desire to seek him is important, even if we get the hearing wrong. If we are trying to hear him and follow him, He will lead us on the right road, even if we take a few wrong turns and end up in a few cul-de-sacs. He is like a perfect eternal sat-nav that will guide us home, even when we make wrong turns, changing each time to respond to us, to get us back on course. Now, this hearing the voice of Jesus isn't an easy task. I feel like I have wax in my ears and need to get them syringed so that I can hear more clearly. One of Jesus' favorite sayings, one he used more than almost any other, which acknowledges how difficult we often find it to hear his voice. On 15 separate occasions, he urged his listeners to have ears to hear, because it was easy then, and it's easy now, to see and hear Jesus and not get what he was on about. Pete Gregg says that the aim of his book is to help us to find our ears. So let's close with a prayer at the end of chapter 1, which relates to this. Let us pray. Lord, I am here before you now, wholeheartedly. Speak as I seek your face. Give me ears to hear what you are saying and a greater willingness to wait. Insofar as I am also here before you now, half-heartedly, fuel the fire of my desire. Do whatever it takes to renew in me an all-consuming passion for your name. Lord Jesus, open my eyes to perceive you. Holy Spirit, soften my heart to receive you. Father God, grant me faith to believe that when I pray in this way, you hear and draw near with words of infinite love. Amen. Okay, we're moving now to our time of communion. So if you want to participate in this but you haven't got your bread and wine, press pause and come back and join us. So come to this table, not because you must, but because you may. Not because you're strong, but because you're weak. Come not because any goodness of your own gives you a right to come, but because you need mercy and help. Come because you love the Lord a little and would like to love him more. Come because he loved you and gave himself for you. Come and meet the risen Christ, for we are his body. I am the bread of life, Jesus told them. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry. Whoever believes in me will never be thirsty. Let's listen afresh to those familiar words from the Apostle Paul about the institution of the Lord's Supper. For the tradition which I handed on to you came to me from the Lord himself, that on the night of his arrest, the Lord Jesus took bread, and after giving thanks to God, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me." The same way he took the cup after supper and said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed by my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so in memory of me. For every time you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the death of the Lord until he comes." As Jesus gave thanks for the bread and the wine, we do so likewise. Let us pray. Father God, we give you thanks for Jesus. We give you thanks that he is here, present now as the host of this meal. We thank you for his life of love and service and healing, his teaching about your kingdom, his willingness to obey you, to even go to his death, that we might be reconciled to you. And we thank you that he did not remain dead, that you raised him to life, and now he lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit. Father God, as we eat this bread and drink this wine, pour out your Holy Spirit afresh upon us in our homes, that we may be nourished and renewed in our life of faith, that we may meet Jesus afresh in this bread and in this wine. In his name we pray. Amen. Jesus took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in memory of me." Jodie, body of Christ, broken for you. Amen. Jesus took the cup and he said, "This cup is a new covenant sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink this, do so in remembrance of me." So take your cups and share with each other. Jodie, the blood of Christ shed for you. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with the body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we offer you our souls and bodies to be a living sacrifice. Send us out in the power of your Spirit to live and work to your praise and glory. Amen. Let's continue in prayer as we pray for others. Let us pray. Good Shepherd, your sheep need protection. So much in the world threatens to harm or destroy them. They are oppressed, exploited, unjustly treated, prey to conflict and violence. We pray for them now. We ask that the world may know life in all its fullness. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, your sheep need good pasture. So many in the world do not have enough to eat. Their lives are narrowed by need as they struggle to exist. We pray for them now. We ask that the needy may know life in all its fullness. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, your sheep need healing. So many are sick and in pain, incapacitated by illness, sorrow, anxiety. Their journey through life is hard. We pray for them now. We pray that those in trouble may know life in all its fullness. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Good Shepherd, your sheep need guidance. So often they do not know the way they should go, but stumble along blindly, not listening for your voice. We pray for guidance for the church, for our local churches and the Church Universal. We pray for them now. We pray that they may know life in all its fullness. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. Good shepherd, your sheep need saving. So often they stray from you and get lost, needing your costly forgiveness, needing you to risk all to fetch them back. We pray now for ourselves. We pray that we may know life in all its fullness. In your love and mercy, hear our prayer. In the name of the Good Shepherd, who laid down his life for the sheep. Amen. I'll close now with a blessing. May the peace of the Lord Christ go with you, wherever he may send you. May he guide you through the wilderness, protect you through the storm. May he bring you home rejoicing at the wonders he has shown you. May he bring you home rejoicing once again into our doors. Amen. And thank you for being with us. Go well and God bless.